I want to go back and go over just a few verses there in the latter part of the third chapter of Ephesians tonight. But before I do, we are talking about the basis of our fellowship here in these particular passages. And as we go on from the third into the fourth, I'm sure that we're going to see some of the working out of what this is talking about in the latter part here of the third chapter. I'm reserved in feeling that sometimes we do not take time before God in looking at these areas. And unless you do, these areas become familiar with us. The words that we use, they're very familiar. And yet, I find that being familiar with just the words, even the concepts, does not bring the reality of what Paul is speaking about here and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about. Now, let me take the word love, because that's what we're talking about, love. Love has no meaning unless there is corresponding action. We can talk about love all day, but unless we have corresponding behavior, corresponding action, then I think most of us, if you've encountered in your life, in your everyday life, this is not just looking back, and we're talking about right down where we live. What we're talking about, the difference between the emotional experience and the divine element of God's love, is the difference between night and day. We shared with Oscar and his wife to be here recently, and we've shared it with you all, I know, time and time again, that the love of God, the love that God sheds abroad in our heart, that divine nature of God, never fails. Never fails. It has so many things that with it that are no more than a definition of the experiencing out of what the divine element is. And that divine element that we're talking about is God. God in you. And that's why it's so important as you look and see these scriptures here, is not to pass over them lightly. We could stay at this passage probably, for months if we had a constitution for it. You know, if we could take it. But sometimes things just become words to us. They must be more than words. We must wait upon God for God to speak to us. I can reveal to you what God is speaking to me, but that doesn't suffice for God speaking to you. All that I do by holding it before you is to stimulate you to wait upon the Lord and know God for yourself. To let Him open up your understanding. Because you're going to encounter these areas, and the question whether you move through them, the areas that I'm talking about in your everyday life, if you're by yourself, you wouldn't have any trouble. It's when we run in with one another. It's when we run into people. This is where we run into some of the difficulties. And we look at ourselves rather than looking to what God wants for us. And to realizing that what God has given to us will go through. And He tells us how it will go through. It will go through every test. It will go through every trial. And He tells us how. We've already looked at that briefly, but again, I'm going to repeat some of these things tonight that I hope will be meaningful to us, to where we can, again, wait upon the Lord to let Him speak to us. Listen to the 17th verse, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I know we pass over that quickly, don't we? Rooted and grounded in love. What does it all mean? Now, let me just make a few little statements, and you just follow along, but I hope that they stick enough to where you'll think on through them. Love is not a feeling. Love is not a concept that you can reason or logic. Love, and what we're talking about, is divine. So God's going to have to reveal it to you. It's going to have to come by revelation to every one of our hearts. Each one of us is sitting here tonight have some deficiency in this area. Every one of us. Including myself. I'm learning. Learning to let the love of God be the love of God. And in every situation that I encounter, every person that I encounter, I either look to my own self or I look to the love of God, and I encounter that situation either in the love of God or in what I want out of it. And you do the same thing. And so this is not only just basic, but if we're going to see growth, if we're going to see relationships cemented together that will be as God has designed, then we're going to have to let God show us what it is, and we're going to have to be exercised by it. We're going to have to be committed to this working. And when I say that, I'm talking about the working of God. I'm not talking about just a commitment to a group. I'm talking about a commitment to God and the working out of His divine love. And it's full. None of us, I don't have a definition tonight. I can tell you certain things that I feel love is. Love is God. He tells us that love is God. God is love, so that means that love is God. But I can tell you certain aspects of love. Love is joy, peace, long-suffering, patience. It's gentleness. This is all attributes of the one love. Take any one of them out, and you have a love that is perverted. So everything must work into it. So that means that we must be committed. To be committed, I must have a certain amount of understanding. That means that God's going to have to give me some spiritual understanding, not natural understanding. Being rooted and grounded in love. That, to me, to be rooted and grounded means that you have passed through some kinds of testings. You have encountered different ones. You have come through these areas to the glory of Him. In other words, you have experienced love. I know at different times, even I can look back 20 years and say, you know, I thought I knew what the love of God was, and you come up another 5 years and you still don't know what it is. I mean, you can't just say, I know what love is. Love is God, God working in and through you. And that means that there's no place, even though this really grates us all, there's no place for you. It's all for God. So when you reach out to touch, or you reach out to conform people to what you think they ought to be, what I think they ought to be, I'm moving not in love. I love whether the person is lovely or not. Right? I love whether they're doing what I think they ought to be doing or not. That's a hard pill. For all of us. Don't anybody look around and say, well, who's he talking to me? I'm talking to every one of us tonight. Because I know how important this is. And I know that we've got to be exercised by God. You can't work this on your own. A lot of times we try to. We try in our own energy, in our own thinking, to work through these things. And yet, the love of God never fails. He goes on to say, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints. So there's a moving into this, and there is an actual understanding in a spiritual realm that allows us to witness with one another that we are in the very center of His working, in the center of His love. Because that's what he's saying. Comprehend with all the saints. What is the breadth of this? What is the length? What is the depth? What is the height? And this thing is all consuming. Do you believe that? Love is all consuming. Love is not letting you do what you want to do. Yet love is not controlling each other. God doesn't let us do what we want to do. That is, if we're going on in a good relationship with Him, right? So here it tells us that we may be able to, as we have been rooted and grounded, that means established in the working of this, to where our lives have been exercised in the very dynamics of love. Does that speak to us? It's not just concepts now that we're talking about love. It's not love that we call a feeling. We're talking about the divine element of God that far surpasses any of these things. And he's encouraging them here that we may be able to comprehend all of this together and see the real depths of what this is all about. What a glorious work. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. This brings us right back to the passages there in the first chapter of Ephesians, which are 18 and 19. Those passages, you all are familiar with those, right? The prayer of Paul concerning the Ephesians after he had heard of their love and their faith. What was his prayer? That's why I say sometimes we think we know it and we don't know anything about it. And I confess to you tonight, if we think we know it, if I think I know it, I don't know it. It will slip from me if I think that I know how it works, because He must work it. I can't work it. But oh, I must be committed to Him. I must be committed to that life that He has given me. I must be committed to Him and the working out of that. I must know these areas that He speaks to us about, because He is clear in giving us instructions. Right? When you go back, I go back, and these instructions seem clearer and more clear than I've ever seen them before. The revelation is clearing up more and more. Do I see clearly? Yes, I see dimly. Because we haven't run to the end. This is a growing experiencing of the very life of God until we come to full stature. You say it's impossible. You'll never be there if you think it's impossible. You've got to believe that what God is doing is possible. All He asks you to do is believe. He doesn't ask you to work it. He says, I'll work it, but all I ask of you that you believe. Now, we've gone over in the last few weeks about that. In the new covenant, it's what God can do in us. He's able to do all things above what we can even imagine. We can't even imagine what God can do. But He's able to do that. But we've got to believe Him. When we look at these things and we say it's impossible, I don't understand, so you don't understand, so I don't understand. Does that mean you stop and quit? That's the time you go back to God and say, Lord, bring me through this that I will understand. Because you will not understand before you go through it. Listen to the scriptures. Jesus said, do my will, then what? Come on. Come on. Talk to me. Do my will and what? You'll know my doctrine. There's a principle here. It's not knowing and then doing. But even in knowing the teachings of Christ, it's doing first. Now, He's called us to love. Not understand what we're doing. Love. Love passes knowledge. You get understanding after you love, not before. We want, as most people do, we want knowledge before we love. Would we all say amen to that? Need to get a good dose of this, Joey, tonight. Because you're going to have a chance, like all the rest of us, to work it out. Well, that's fine, but I mean, a good dose of this. This tonight. This love that God is talking about. And you're experiencing it. It isn't that we're not, all of us are not experiencing it. It's just the question whether we're really going to let God work on through us, or whether we're going to kind of stop the flow of what God wants to do. And that's why we need understanding. His prayer was that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. To know what he's called us for, what he's called us into. We've got so used to just having our own way. We've gotten used to, we're in a rut as far as what we think church service is and what satisfies us, that we have lost the true meaning of God's love. And we've turned the world off around about us and we don't know it. They don't want religion. But don't show me anybody that doesn't want love. But see, we have to love unconditionally as far as loving the person. Because there's nothing that comes any quicker to a person that is even the natural when you are hypocritical in your expression towards them. They know it. The world's looking for that divine element, that love. That doesn't mean that you condone their sin. But didn't God love us while we were yet sinners? Huh? Now this is the same love that we're talking about. Did he condone our sin? Did he accept us in our sin? No. He dealt with our sin. But he loved us. Now, can we love? It's hard. It's hard because we've got our minds into a rut of different things. We've got our whole lives. We've been exercised in other things that are natural that we can control. This is an element that you can't control. Not in that way. In other words, you can't turn it off and on. God is in you, mighty to do his work. And love never fails. Glory. There's many other areas that it is, and we'll look at those in just a moment. But Paul is going on to say, what is the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints? There is the richness here that I doubt if we've even started to tap into the vastness of it, right? You say, how can it be any better than it is? Huh? Tara came in tonight and she didn't even know which door to come in. She was so drunk on the Spirit. She was so joyous and rejoicing in the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. We have to know the working out of this, and the love of God that he's given us has to be under the control of the Spirit. All right. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the work of his mighty power? Remember, it's God's working. That's why I think we want to work it. We're in there. We're trying to get everything. How do we do this? How do we do that? Are we moving in union with God? Are we moving in union with each other? You can't move in union with each other until you're moving in union with God. Would everybody agree to that? Okay, let's go back again to 1 Corinthians. If you don't mind, I'm sure you... If you haven't read this recently, read it again. But I don't know whether I... you know, when you read this, how rich it is, I don't know whether I really see the depths of this or not. But yet I encounter... In my everyday life, and in your everyday life, I encounter some of the failures. And the failure is never on God's part, it's always on our part. But let me just read these few things. Love suffereth long. We're not talking, we're in 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians. I'm in the 4th verse. I'm just interested in what love does. This does not define love. It just tells you what love does. how it works. Love suffereth long and is kind. But I don't feel kind. I don't feel like being long-suffering. Then you're looking to yourself. Just as clear as that. I mean, we don't like this. And when I say that, I'm looking at me. I don't like it either. Because, you know, we can say, well, this is the way it works. As long as it's working towards me. Wait a minute. This is God working, what we're talking about. Now, love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. There's an area that all of these areas we need to meditate upon and see what this is saying. Now, we're not trying to copy. We're committed to God. If God says we're to be kind, that means He's going to give you the ability to be kind. If He says to be long-suffering, He's going to give you the ability to see and be long-suffering. Glory. Don't hear anybody shouting. This is shouting ground tonight. Amen. This is a place to where we can rejoice. The main thing is, you know, what stumbles us along the way and why we're so slow in obtaining this, that we're looking to ourselves. This is what God is doing. This isn't what you're doing. This isn't how you feel. Love is not feelings. Love is God. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. What's it mean? Love is patient. What does that mean as far as you're concerned? I am concerned. Can we be patient with each other? Love is, if it's true love. If you're trying to be patient with each other and you're trying to be patient with me, you might get fed up. Love never fails. Because it looks to what God can do. It isn't putting my demands on you or looking for you to do something in your own. If you're a child of God and I witness that you have the life of God, God is able. I must be responsible in sharing, exhorting, and stimulating you. But God must do the work. He is the one that loves. He is the one. I love because... You don't love because you have it in yourself. You love because He has come to abide within you. That's why you love. So when you're looking for love and it's not working, you know what? Most of love, what we term love today, is somebody doing something for me. Love is the exact opposite. Love doesn't worry about what you do to me. Love is an outreach and a pouring out of yourself to others. God doesn't love us and make demands upon us to do things. He loves us without condition. We don't love that way. So what does that tell us? What does that tell me? That I've got to get my hands off of the other people. I can't put my demands upon them. That doesn't mean I do not encourage. That does not mean that I do not continue to labor. But it means that I cannot put demands upon our relationship by demanding that you do certain things. I must love you for who you are. Go ahead. Time to shout. Hallelujah. You wonder why sometimes it doesn't work. This is why it doesn't work. A love that is selfish, that is looking for something for yourself, is not God's love. It's you. And it doesn't work. It fails all the time. But the love of God never fails. Look here. It bears all things. If you do this, I will do this. Old covenant. What's new? God said, I'm going to come and I'm going to dwell in you. And what you could not do, I'm going to do. Now, how does this relate? Because, I mean, I'm not going to just talk to you, Jolie, but just take marriage as far as this is concerned. Because it's a very close union. It's a union between two people. They become one one spirit if they're believers. They, and rightly said, they become one flesh, as God says. When a man leaves father and mother and goes and cleaves into a wife, they become one flesh. If they both have the life of God, they're one in spirit. They have moved into a higher relationship than the natural people. So now we move to the divine element because of the divine element is there. It's love. Not natural affection. And I'm not against tonight. I'm not telling you that you don't need natural affection. If you do not have a even the natural, if there's no reaching out, then you have no attraction, right? We have a natural affection, but that's not the love that we're talking about. You just can't be without feelings in our relationship, what I'm saying. God gave you emotions for a reason. But when it comes to the love of God that will not fail, it has to be the divine element. It's not whether you feel like it or don't feel like it. It's not whether I feel like loving, I feel like doing. Because listen, love is doing. Love is active. When you think that you are uncommitted and not active, then you're not loving. Love is active. Not doing what you want to do, it's doing what God wants you to do. Sometimes we become confused in trying to take all of the things that God has laid to us in the Word, and we have tried to take it all on ourselves and say, I just can't do it all. He never taught you to do it all. That's why He came to abide within you, to where each one moves according to the measure of grace that He's given you, His ability, to where you can walk out this life to His glory and to His praise. And you can be satisfied with giving somebody a cup of cold water, right? And you won't remember, well, I've done this for God. So many of us today, I've got to do something for God. Or I don't want to fail God. You need to be taken up with your relationship with God. We need to be taken up with knowing Him. And we won't fail because He won't let us fail. Go ahead, child.
Amen.
It's kind of weak. Man. Glorious. Maybe you think that your love will withstand the test. No, your love will fail every time. My love will fail every time. My love is being tested and it fails every time. But God's love, when it's tested, comes forth. It's pure gold. Gloria. It comes through the test. It reveals Him. It gives of myself. It doesn't ask anything in return. You say, I just can't do that. I know you can't. That's what God said. You couldn't do it. Said, I couldn't do it. How much do you know about this? Well, a little bit. What do they call that in Spanish? Petito. Just a little bit. Because there's so much. It's so vast, this working of God. But, beloved, if we don't get involved in it, if we don't have a commitment to Him. A lot of times we're looking for commitment with each other, and we have missed our commitment with Him. I'm committed to God. And God will work out all of these other relationships if we're looking through eyes of love. Because you're not looking what they're doing. You're not looking what they can do for you. They don't have to be anything that you want them to be. Hallelujah. God's changing us. Glory. You say that's kind of a lukewarm place. No, that's God, and that puts the pressure on God to move in other lives. Which, if you do it, all you do is bring misery to your relationship, and most of all, you bring misery to your own mind. Isn't that right? I can say it's right. What do you think? You all say it's right. Does it affect you? Sure, it affects you. Does it affect you emotionally? Yes. Does it affect your mental attitude? Yes. Does it affect your physical? It affects your physical. It'll make you sick when you're trying to work something and it's not doing what you feel it should do. But when you enter into the joys of the Lord, you know that God's working. You're patient. You're patient with each other. That don't mean that you're inactive. Sometimes we think patience is not doing anything. Praying, looking, but not putting demands. Because if you're not changing the way I want you to change, I'm miserable. If you'll be truthful tonight, you've run into these areas and you've got to see what God is saying here. What love will do. Because if we don't see it, we'll continue to struggle with these areas. And none of us can say that we have attained. None of us sitting here tonight say, I know what you're saying. You may have moved in and you may have touched it, but you've got to walk it out tomorrow. And you may look at it in your natural. You may think, well, I have been treated wrongly in any relationship. In love, let them treat you any way they want to. Glory? Have you ever been in love? It doesn't make any difference how the people treat you. You're in love. Huh? Until love no longer is there, then something else happens. But when love's there, it can endure. I remember a story. You've probably heard it. I haven't told it too many times, but it was about two drunks. I don't like these kind of stories, but this tells the story of what I'm trying to say. There's one drunk said to this other drunk, he said, you know, you need to be saved. And he said, if you could ever show me somebody that's living the life, I'd get saved. He said, come on, go home with me. And so he went into the house and knocked on the door, and here's his wife come to the door, and he takes right in the front of this man, he slaps her across the face and knocks her on the floor. I mean, just almost knocked her teeth out of her face. And she got up, she went to the back of the house, and pretty soon they heard her singing a hymn. She was cooking, they could hear the bacon frying, and they could smell that bacon coming, and she was cooking breakfast for him. That old boy got down on his knees and let Christ come into his life. He saw it worked out. That's what I'm talking about. Most of us can't take that. Can we? Huh?
Me too.
But that's what I'm talking about tonight. And I'm talking about what God can do, not what I can do. Because that wasn't what she could do. That's what God was doing in her. There was that divine love working. And it was a revealing of that love. And that's what touched that man's heart. That's what's going to touch others. That's why the love of God working in the early church, it spoke to the world. They called them Christians. They saw them because they loved one another. Unconditional love. It's hard for us to do this because we feel that if somebody's doing something wrong, we can't love them. Come on now, am I bringing heresy to you? We're to love unconditionally, even to the sinner. That does not mean that we accept their sin. You're not saying that. Are you looking for something? Are you looking for something that you can put on your account? Everything must go on his account. When you stand before him, you say, Lord, you did it all. I lay my crown at your feet. You did it all. I didn't do anything. It was you all the way. So you can see, I think, a little bit of the working out of this is to look back to the book of Ephesians there in the fourth chapter for a moment tonight. More. Because he goes on in now to the working out. That's what Paul is. I mean, he's built up. There's truths in here. We can't bypass the pathway that he has led us to. When he brings us to the fourth chapter, fourth chapter was put in here by man, not by God. When it's verse 1, that isn't what God says. That isn't what the Holy Ghost says. Put 1 down there in the first verse. This was a letter. This is what the Holy Ghost said through the Apostle Paul. Now listen to it, because all through the first, second, and third chapter, he has laid a firm foundation as far as our behavior. Do you understand that our behavior actually is a revealing of our character? Do you get a good grasp of that? Who you are. Really, whether you are trustworthy. Whether you can be trusted. We can trust God. All of us say God is faithful. Can you be trusted? Because if you're a child of God, there needs to be a place of stability in your life. And all of these things are proving, bringing us up to this place. Now, he goes into, so keep that in mind as we go into this briefly here. I'm not going to be long. I'm not going to go into the whole thing by any means. We don't have time tonight, but I want to briefly go into the first few verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. How were you called? Called. How were you called?
By grace.
By grace. Through faith. Nothing that you have done. Right? Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now here's how you are to do it. And only if the love of God is in our heart can it be done. With all lowliness, humility, lowliness, coming down under, helping others, never lording over, helping, going in, moving in, lifting up. Let our lives be that which lifts up. Now, this is not just putting on a funny face and acting joyous. The world can see directly through this. This has got to be real in your life. It's got to be real in my life. Am I enjoying God in spite of all of the testings? All of us are having testings, beloved. Don't let anybody kid you that we're not being tested. God is not afraid to allow us to be tested. He does not test us. The world is here. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulations, but rejoice, I have overcome this world. Do we know what the overcoming grace of God is in this? Now, we have been called to a walk, and we are to walk. Our lives are to reveal what he's saying here, with all lowliness and gentleness. I would say that this should always affect our attitudes, right? This expression, this is love being expressed. You can't take humility out of love and say you have love. You don't. You can't take gentleness out of love and say you have love. It becomes something else. Because what happens, you take any of these out of love, you have something that your hand has touched. It has something of humanism in it. It's something that you want for yourself. You will accept somebody if they will do something or if they act some way. You will accept them. It's got to be on your conditions. Love doesn't do that. With long suffering, you know, with patience. Who am I waiting on? I'm not waiting on them. I'm waiting on God. Because God's the only one who can do anything in any one of our lives. You can take and you can beat me all day. You can put me up beside the wall. You can do anything you want to with me. You can't change me. God's the only one who can change me. Because he changes us from the heart out. Amen. It takes the love of God working in each one of our lives that's going to do this work. With long suffering, bearing with one another in love. I know we could all think of the worst condition that's happened to us in the last 2 or 3 years. And we could say all kind of things, but this is the kind of love that we need to have. This is the kind of love that two people that are entering into a relationship and a union, this is the kind of love, if it's going to work, this is where it's got to be. I think Jolie is a good example that the other love didn't work, did it?
The other love?
For what it was, it didn't work.
With him? No. Well, what I was saying was, even with him, it didn't work because I didn't have that love. Because it wasn't selfish love, because I wanted my needs to be filled. I wanted to be loved by him.
I hope tonight you see that whether your needs are met or not, you love. Unconditional because God is loving through you. That's going to make it work. But see, you put the pressure, so to speak, is now on God to perform. We are His creation. And when He sees us obeying, committed to Him, you think He's just going to leave us out there and not going to do anything? He's going to work on our behalf. Who do I talk to? Talk to you or talk to God? Now, if I need to talk to you, I'll talk to you. But I better be talking to God also. Because God's the one that's got to move in our hearts. This doesn't divorce us from relationships, doesn't divorce us from speaking to one another, but this is the thing that holds us together that I'm talking about. This is the thing that spans the gulf. Just moves on past everything. Moves past personalities. Everything. It moves in and glorifies God. Then he goes on to say, this is the thing, we all like the unity of the Spirit, right? And there is a unity of the Spirit, but we are to endeavor to keep that unity. It's there. You're not going to destroy the unity. It's there. But you just need to keep it in peace, where you're at peace with each other. All of us know what it means to be at peace with each other, right? Huh? You ever been in trouble and you get out of sorts and you're not at peace with one another? You know anything about that? Huh? Amen. Here I am. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is a joyous place. And it's not going to be easy. Don't let anybody tell you that any area of life is just a bed of roses. A lot of us are looking for that. We're looking for some utopia, I think. The utopia is Jesus Himself. Mm-hmm. It's where I can be in the worst condition that you can think of, and I can lift my heart and praise God to know He's in control. Now I am moving in perfect peace. Can you do that? Amen. You can do that. Everything else going wrong. Everybody throwing all of their ideas at you. Perfect peace. Whose mind stayed on Him. Right. Amen. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then He goes on to tell us. Man, He cuts away all of these other things. One body. One Spirit. Just as you have been called, but one hope into your calling. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Well, I don't know what these people do. They've got all these different baptisms. And all different kind of baptisms. There's only one baptism. And that baptism is not in water. This baptism we were talking about is not a baptism in repentance. That was John's baptism. He's off the scene. This baptism is when God comes and dwells within you. Mm-hmm. Glory.
Glory.
One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. You know, our relationships would be a whole lot better if we really believed that God is in each other. Wouldn't it have a big difference in how we talk to each other if you knew that God was present in the other person? Oh, that's a sobering thought.
Mm-hmm.
Sobering thought. Well, He is. It's not just a thought. It's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why Paul says that you should walk worthy of the calling of which you were called, with all lowliness, recognizing that God is in our midst. God is in each other.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Amen. You're not your own. You're not here to just enjoy yourself. Doesn't mean that God is not going to bless us along the way. And when He blesses us, that we're not going to enjoy Him. But we have a different working. There's a different working in our lives. The world has not found happiness yet. And I got news for them. They never will. That's why a lot of people say it's got to get better. It's not going to get any better. They say, well, it was just bad way back, huh? Not to the extent that it is today. I'm sorry. I mean, people are trying to look at prophecy and say this and that. Sorry. We're living in the end of our age, looking for the coming of the Lord. We're not trying to escape. We're here to occupy until He comes. What is occupy? Actively engaged in a walk of faith. Actively engaged in His will. Not laboring and fighting against what we see out there. The only thing that can change that is a heart that's changed. Glory? Man, if the so-called religious world would stop trying to take and make it a better world by what they could do and laboring what God is doing, we'd see some change. But no, they're going to try to change it. And it's the same thing with the love of God. Sometimes we try to change, and we try to change each other. We try to change things around us. We don't accept this. We don't accept that. We become captive to our own thoughts, imprisoned by our own standards. Follow Jesus. You can't trap Him. You think, I got you. Look here, you condone this here. And they tried their best. In other words, you allow, you shouldn't be healing on the Sabbath. He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. See, when you see and move in what God is and what He's doing, then you'll see what's going to win out. Love. Want to pour some cold water on the head of somebody that's doing you wrong? Just love them. Unconditionally love them. What's it going to do? Let God take care of that. But it will be like pouring cold, hot water on their heads when you love them. We hear testimonies all along the way of just loving somebody, moving in them. They don't know what love is. The world knows nothing but what I can get for myself, what I can have, my happiness. Love just gives. It gives. Never stops giving. Love never stops giving. You say, I don't have the ability in myself. Amen. Just keep it that way. Keep your vessel clean so it can continue to flow out of you. Because it's never going to change. In other words, it's not going to get better. We just got to love. And that's what we're here for. And now, if it can't work out here in our own lives, and I'm not saying that it isn't, I'm saying that it is. But if it couldn't work out here, how do we expect the world to see love? Because this is where they're going to see love. Right? And there's always a working. I grant you that. We can't say we have attained. There's always a working. But what are we going to do? Are we going to obey God? Remember, He works in us. What is He looking for? He's looking for obedience as a son, as a daughter. To His will, not to our opinions, not to our reasoning. You can find 100 reasons. At different times I've looked before the Lord, come before the Lord, and I found 100 reasons why I shouldn't do what He told me to do. Before He gets through with me, whether it's a week or whether it's 2 or 3 days, I come down and say, Lord, I don't have one reason. They're all gone. Right? And that's the way you are. If you want to waste time, just continue to plead your case. You'll find there's no reason. You can't build up one. I don't have one. Love. Put you down there in the midst of a world that's dying. Love. Let them see what love is all about. And this is not taking. Love is something that respects one another. Love does not move beyond the boundaries of one another's consciousness and takes advantage of them. Love serves. Love gives. Love is not what we're talking about. Love, if I might say it so crudely, love is not sex. Love is God. Love is not feelings. Love is God. And we start to see it, start to move in it, doesn't mean that it's going to be easy for any of us. If you proved it up to tonight that it's real, you're going to have to prove it on out until you leave this world. Because God is in you. And that's what he is revealing himself. And it embraces every area. So, I mean, tonight I'm not... if you want to, you can... I'll just direct you to it. But I'm not going to go over it. But if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you'll see that every one of them... And is fruit single of the Spirit. It's not fruits. It's fruit. They all make up what love, real divine love, is. So we can encourage each other along the way. We can encourage brothers and sisters that are married. We can encourage you all that are getting ready to get joined back together. We can encourage Oscar and his wife as they move on. Because this is the only kind of love that's going to work. And the majority of the time, we don't know anything about this love. We haven't encountered this love before. This is mature love. This is not something that you just slipped into and you're just bathing in the sunlight of his love. Usually when we come into the Lord, it's wonderful at the beginning, right? God wants mature love. Love that will go on through his glory. Love that will not stumble along the way. Love that will love. Just like Stephen, right? Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's love. Isn't that what, right? Huh? And that's what God calls us to do. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You might read 24. I'm not going to read it tonight. I'm just going to let you look at that, because that is part of. That's only part of. Because love is vast. You can take any one of these things away from love and you do not have love. Love is pure. We can say we love. We do not control. When we're controlling, we do not yet love. You young people, you know, you youngies, like Jolie there, is getting ready to get married again. She's going to have to take step by step. That's what we're talking about. And some of us older ones are going to have to continue to do the same thing, step by step. See, we think that once you've entered into it, you can let down. There's no letting down in this. Sometimes we think, I have attained. I've got it all together. I'm doing it. Wait a minute. You just lost it. It's step by step. It's the love of God flowing through us in his ability. Diligence. Committed. Who am I committed to? I'm committed to him. I'm committed to what he says I am. And I now have the ability to be what he says I am. So do you. Every one of you. You have the ability to be what God says you are. God never says you're something and then you can't fulfill it. Doesn't make sense. And it's true. If somebody will believe, you'll find out there's no failures in what we're talking about. The failure is always in us, where I've stumbled along the way, looked at myself, got my eyes off of Jesus. And that don't mean that I'm just walking around looking at a picture of Jesus or some concepts of Jesus. I'm walking in a living relationship with a God that's real. That woman there, you know, at the well, she says, you know, your fathers, they worship in Jerusalem. And my fathers, they worship up here in the mountains. Jesus says, I know that. But my Father is spirit. Those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. How much more today? This is where it's all about, right here. It's what God can do. I know it sounds passive. It's not, though. It's the most active life you can enter into. It's the most joyous life you can enter into. It's easy when somebody slaps you to reach out and slap them. It's easy to turn the other cheek and yet become embittered inside. Love turns the other cheek and continues to love and forgets that they've even been slapped. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there. We all have a long ways to go. I rejoice in where you brought us all. Thank God for what He's doing. He's not finished yet. The work is finished, but He's not finished in working everything that He is in us. In other words, we couldn't go on into the fourth chapter of Ephesians because he's talking about going now. After we know all of this, we have a revelation of it, we're grounded and rooted in love, what do? We go on into maturity. Sometimes we think age brings maturity. Sometimes it doesn't. Maturity comes from my response to a God that I know Him. I've been exercised. My whole being, your whole being has been exercised in God. Body, soul, and spirit exercised. Knowing Him. Glory.